adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Who? Dr. Drew.
Oh, relax.
In the hizzy.
Give me a break. I was actually looking forward to coming here tonight. Actually, I was hearing stories that you spoke kindly of me while I was gone, which made me feel very good. I knew I'd hear none of it when I got here.
So. Delirious. I was like a plate spinner. Those doctors there and crazy guests, me covering.
You leave me alone once in a
while? You know what it was? You know, it was like for me, well, sure, it's,
you can
haul all over town, chase a little money. No problem.
I don't mean leave permanent. I mean,
let me tell you what I was like last week. Remember that movie Mrs. Doubtfire?
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh. See, that's a movie Drew saw. At the end, the big crescendo. Robin Williams had to play Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes.
And like a regular guy who was going on a big job interview, I had to keep running back and forth to the bathroom. That's what it was like for me.
You were playing Fred Flintstone.
All right, you'll go back to New York.
Fred Flintstone, who would have to be in a bowling match and a dinner with his wife at the same time, right?
Yes,
right?
That was me. Right. That was me. And by the way, in movies, the makeup happens just a little too fast.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like whenever they do those movies where they talk about, Mrs. Doubtfire or The Grandeur, and any movie where, Charlize Theron and monsters, like, I was in the makeup chair for 6 hours a day. You can't run to the bathroom, become a different person, and run back and sit down, not have crap hanging off you.
Yep.
Like in Mission Impossible, the other thing, it's like, just pull the fridge, fooled them with the fake voice chip. And really, how'd you slap that thing on? And Drew, imagine what you would look like if you're trying to mold yourself a quick fake face in some dark storm drain somewhere.
Star Wars cafe.
Right, you just come out and look like someone crapped on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. How was New York, buddy?
It was great. Had a nice time.
Good time.
Did some work with Trojan Condoms. They have a new product coming out. That's
great. What is it?
It's a the lubricant that heats up.
Mm-hmm. And do the condom man? I mean, secret. They don't talk about it. During their press conference and that kind of stuff. But behind closed doors, they secretly wish like for new AIDS.
No, they don't see. I was doing a lot of condom thinking in New York, and it occurred to me, one of the things that kept coming up was, why guys won't do it, and it's always that we need that condom loader, we're taking care of everything except the part where they have to stop and put it on. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know what? It's really not that guys are going to lose their erection.
Mm-hmm.
The guys are afraid that the woman's going to come too.
Yeah.
They're like a lion that's pounced on a gazelle. And they're afraid if they pull their paw up, the freaking gazelle's going to take off.
That's not really pull their paw up. It's open the jaw that's clamped around the neck.
Just open it for a second.
Yeah.
Pow, thing's gone. Right?
Yeah.
That's how guys are.
It is true, which is you're on some, it's like you're playing Papa Shot and you just nailed 26 in a row.
Right.
And your buddy's yelling at you, the pizza slice is right. And you're like, no, I'm going.
Can't stop. Yeah, can't stop.
You get the feeling if you stop, turn around, and look back again, the next one's doinking off the side of the rim.
And just forget the fact that you're on a roll. Just the fact that you have a girl in a trance.
Well, that's what you being on a roll is.
Right. Yeah.
She's agreed to intercourse with you.
At least. Provided she doesn't wake up or come to her senses or whatever.
Yeah, Drew doesn't mean come to in a roofie sense.
No, no, no.
Though God knows he's been on the winning end of a roofie more than once. But back when we didn't know any better, it was socially acceptable. But yes, that if you somehow stop and it's sort of like if you flip the light on, they're going to look around and go, wait, huh?
It's like waking up a sleepwalker.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are we? Yeah. What are you doing? Yeah. You're not my boyfriend.
It's all because that damn condom I had to put on, right? That's so the guys think.
Yeah, they don't want to stop.
But the reality is
when you're with a woman and it's to the point where she says get the condom or you say get the condom.
It's game on.
There's no more.
Yeah.
That's as much guarantee as you're going to get in light.
But think about how guys' heads are going, she's having sex with me. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. That's all that's going on in a guy's head. I was doing an interview with some magazine a couple weeks ago, and they were like, well, what are guys thinking? I'm thinking, you know what they're thinking?
Hold on, is it some magazine or some magazine?
It was some magazine. It was like, I can't remember.
Oh, but name it was some.
It wasn't some.
Well, if you got a magazine called Stuff, seems like you'd have one called some.
Yeah, some stuff. And I thought to myself, what are they thinking? They're thinking, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, she's having sex with me.
Yeah.
That's all they're thinking.
But really, answer my question. Do the Trojan people hope for new AIDS?
No, I don't think they do.
New AIDS?
No.
Yeah. Really? Because really, they could move, you know, more product.
Move more product?
Well, you'd buy stock. You know what I mean?
Let's
new AIDS?
That they'd be wishing for.
Condom stock going through the roof. Huh?
No.
I'm thinking
no,
new AIDS.
Yeah, new AIDS.
Well, it's got to be tough because, you know, they're getting some of these venereal disease. They're getting the venereal diseases under control. Yeah. AIDS, they're going to check on a little bit. Hepatitis, always nice.
Always
sure
in
they're
there.
Hoping it's for like a hepatitis D or something.
There is
like
such a thing, a Delta, yeah.
Oh, there is a Delta. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
What about an Epsilon?
We need a G.
Or a Foxtrot or something.
Yeah, G.
Yeah. All right. Get G. Do they have an E?
It has an Epsilon, yeah. It has an Epsilon, too.
Oh, really? Oh. Jesus Christ. Those hepatitis people never sleep. You know, back in the day, if you're lucky to get A... Now it's going all the way to E.
That's right. All different kinds of parts.
They're like TV sizes.
But I'm sure it's not because the Trojan guys have wished for it. I think
they got their fingers crossed for a new AIDS. New AIDS.
I'm trying to think what they are wishing for.
New AIDS. Stephanie, and that's not an indictment of the good people over at Trojan. I'm just saying, hey, it's a business. At the end of the day, Drew, what? It's a business.
At the end of the day.
Don't kid yourself. It's a business.
When they have growth, that the public health is enhanced. Mm-hmm. See?
Don't you hate jack-offs who give you that don't kid yourself it's a business line about things that are obviously business? You know, they like when they do it, too. Like, let me tell you, Pete, NFL is as competitive as it can be, and as much as these guys are great athletes, it's a business. Yeah, okay, jack-off.
Don't let them kid you.
Yeah, don't let them kid you. It's a business. That's good sports talk. Don't let them kid you, Pete. It's a business.
Speaking of sports guys, my kids were in the pregame show of the NBA All-Star Game tonight.
What the?
Yeah.
What were they doing?
We didn't tell you about that?
No.
They had a friend, a buddy of theirs who was... had a father's godson was the producer of the pregame show, and so they needed a bunch of kids lining the stage giving high fives to the players as they came out.
Your kids, great. What a downhill slide it's going to be when they're done with you, living in some apartment in Van Nuys. One of them's working for Pink Dot, the other's writing a screenplay that'll never be made, and they're like, oh, we high-fived Karl Malone. Stephanie?
Yeah.
You're 19?
What was Karl Malone?
Yeah.
He's injured. I don't think he made it this year.
Yao Ming. They got Yao Ming. So
yeah. What did they do? High five Yao Ming's nutsacks? They couldn't high five him. He can't get that low.
He crawled over.
He has to pay a dwarf to tie his shoes, you know. He can't get to his shoes. Oh, yeah. It's good.
You're right. Yeah.
Stephanie?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. I have been dating this guy for about 2 months. And things are going really well, and I want to give him oral, but I'm really scared because, like, I don't know what to do. I've never done it before, you know? And, you know, I want to make him happy and please him, but I'm afraid I'll go, like, wrong. Mm-hmm.
This is something I've been sort of coaching women about.
Sure.
All you need to do is stay in the room with him and be willing to do whatever it is he's interested in.
Yeah.
That's it. It's over the top.
Part of it is how experienced is he? But yes,
I
agree with Drew.
I
agree with Drew. But how experienced is he just for kicks?
Well, I mean, he used to be married, and so I know he has a lot of experience, and he's been with a few other girls.
Four other girls and a marriage. Oh, good.
Did he say four other or some other?
A few others. I don't know exactly.
Okay, so, Stephanie sounds very naive for just like a babe. For 19. Would you grow up in a sheltered house?
Yeah. Well, I'm in a pretty strict family, and so, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're not isolated from the world. You're not disabled or something.
No.
Okay.
How about have you ever seen anyone perform oral sex?
No.
How about you watch yourself a little pornographic film where that's involved and maybe, you know, at least get an idea of what's going on?
Yeah, I could.
Yeah.
All right. The deal is, if you're enthusiastic and you're there, he's fine. Whatever it is, he's good. Unlike a woman, a guy does not mind having to talk somebody through something. He doesn't spoil anything if he has to give you a little pointer here or there.
Yes, but... Well, I mean, this is somebody who, when she closes her eyes, has no conception of oral sex.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
She does.
Blink, I see blowjobs.
I know.
You know what I mean?
But you're the expert receiver.
There goes one. Even one eye.
There was. Oh, ooh.
Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Nobody receives oral like me.
I know.
I've said it many times. Yes. A lot of guys brag about their prowess, you know, how well they perform.
No, no.
How they bring a woman to climax, what they can do for a woman. Not many guys will have the confidence to really express how well they receive oral.
Well, as you said, not many talk about what they can do for a woman. And
yeah.
You receiving it is the ultimate.
It's ultimate gift.
Ultimate gift, yes.
Yeah, because they say that giving is better than receiving. So those who facilitate receiving,
it's
got to be better. Yeah, I'm the next level up. Yeah. Chris, you want to see my technique for receiving? Sure.
You've never seen it? Really? There it is. You're right, Chris, you okay? Overwhelmed, huh?
See how that goes?
Wow.
It's you got to relax.
Yeah, you're good at that.
Yeah. I think my dad, must have been good at it.
He pioneered
it. Because they said, whenever I used to see him, he was in sort of, the, you know, he was on the sofa.
That's where you guess you...
Drew it.
That's what you Drew fashioned it. Your pose after.
Yeah, I just watched my dad all those years playing it on the sofa. I say Stephanie gets herself a porno movie or hops on the internet, just takes a little look at it. But don't do that weird spit thing. I don't know when that came into vogue, but I don't go for that.
What is that?
Somebody decided about 6-7 years ago that the porn had to involve like long bridges of saliva and like spitting and stuff. So you know what happened? Porn was just porn for like 30 years.
Then
somebody said, we got to ratchet this up. Yeah.
We got to distinguish ourselves.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Here's the way I wish they would have ratcheted it. Hotter chicks with bigger cans. But instead, they went nasty. Like, we got to get nasty, you know? So chicks are going to get all these tats and piercings. They're going to spit on their hand and start attacking the guy's penis, like giving an Indian burn. You know, just spitting on the guy's joint and leaving, you know, peeing on him and stuff. Like, hey, look, I didn't want to get abused. I just want to beat off. And here's the thing. Hot chicks, never out of vogue. Never goes out of style. Like, it's not like somebody's got to improve. We got a way to make watermelon better in the middle of summer. Nah, that's good. Just get focused on good melon.
Yeah.
Focus on getting good melon. That's all you need to focus on.
Yeah.
That's it. Porn, don't change. Yeah. Just the influx of young hot chicks. There you go. Thank you. Kristen?
Christine.
Oh, Christine.
Hi.
Yeah. What's happening, Christine? You're 26.
Yeah, I love the show, guys.
Thanks.
What's happening is that I can have orgasms when I'm asleep and like a dream leads up to them, but
right.
I have never had one when I'm awake with a partner or with myself.
How you have a lot of experience? You had boyfriends?
Yeah, I have one right now. We've been together 2.5 years.
And Adam asked the right questions.
No, I was thinking Christine's my mom's name. Yeah.
Is that weird for you?
I was over at her house today, so I was thinking about that. I stopped paying attention.
Okay.
That's what he does when he hears the word Christine.
He just I heard my mom's attention. Name, and then I thought, I went over to her house for brunch today.
Yeah, but doesn't that make you stop paying attention just hearing her? Yeah.
So what did she do? I got to answer
all right,
every
does
question?
The boyfriend
I answered questions all last week.
Does he perform oral sex on you?
Yeah. Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Well, I've gotten close, but it's never, I've felt very stimulated, both during intercourse and during oral or with his hand, but I've never gotten to where I know it's going to happen like I do when it's happening when I'm asleep. And it'll wake me up. Like, I'll get really close and it feels really good and I haven't
touched my... What are you doing during the dream?
It can be either an erotic dream or just random and it'll just kind of go into this kind of sexual thing.
Mm-hmm. But there's
no
act.
I can be doing anything. No, there doesn't have to be an act. I can just walk up to, like, whatever's near there. I don't know. And then I'll wake up at some point, and in order to go really over the edge, I have to physically touch myself, but just really lightly. And then it all, you know.
Why can't you sort of recreate that in life?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking you.
So you have are you married? You have a boyfriend?
No, we've been together 2.5 years.
And he performs oral sex sometimes.
Yeah.
The light touch suggests to me that's the oral sex department.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing.
And what do you mean sometimes? Do you wish you would do it more?
I don't know, not necessarily. Yeah. I'm not uncomfortable with it. I like it, but I guess the thing is that it's never gotten me off with anybody, so I don't really see why I should do it that much.
How about you have him do it and do a much lighter approach?
Yeah,
definitely. Things feel better when he's going lighter. I told him I was going to call, so he's listening.
All right, very light, very rhythmic, circular motions.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy.
No.
Just repetitive.
Don't get slick.
Like petting a Persian cat kind of thing. Like very slow, rhythmic.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And the light, and that's that. And just, and have a, you know, have at it a bit. Give her a chance. She's never done this before.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean,
here's
the
thing.
He's going to put aside 20 minutes.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, at least. And then have an appointment with your dentist the next day.
Yeah.
To repair your jaw.
Yeah.
But,
Well, here's the thing, too, is you can't set some sort of tongue tempo that she has to keep up with.
No,
and I think that's what guys do.
Yeah.
Guys try to push the action along like some sort of tongue metronome or something. They try to get the cadence going, and it's not. That's not the way to do it.
I've done a lot of thinking about this stuff this week when we were doing the
really?
Condom. So, and listen, mm-hmm. I realize guys just think of a vagina as an inside-out penis.
Mm-hmm.
And when it doesn't act like an inside-out penis, then they gotta get it there. It's like, I understand. It's like I'm confused now.
Yeah,
I'm anxious,
like,
pushing harder.
It's like one of those penises that when you put it on the grill, it cracks open like a bratwurst or something.
That's
like a Polish. You know when you do a Polish sandwich?
It's good times.
Get the dog in there?
Yeah, it's good.
But nice, by the way.
I love those.
Polish sausage on some grilled rye.
Sourdough.
Little sauerkraut in there.
Yeah.
No, you do it on rye.
The rye's good. I was
like
a sourdough roll. It's good too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No, I'm thinking the kraut.
I think the kraut with the rye is good. Yeah.
Kraut with the rye. Yeah. It's got to be a little greasy.
It's good.
Oh, and some cheese.
Ooh.
Oh, maybe a little Swiss cheese on that.
Mm.
Or a little mustard. It's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, nice beer to wash that down with.
Let's go.
Let's get
out.
we're gonna eat. What were we talking about?
Florida.
Yeah, don't push. Yeah, but don't push, fellas.
Yeah, it's
that's
not. It doesn't work like a penis. That's the reality. It just doesn't.
Right, a penis. You can't. Here's the thing about a penis. Penis is sort of like 382 strokes, and something's going to come out.
Period.
Of it,
or whatever the stroke number is for that male.
Right,
it's preset.
It was God ordained that many, many years ago.
And it's different on different days, different things,
right.
But it's set.
Now, here's the thing. If you did a stroke a day over 300-something days, it's not going to work. But you put together a little pace, and if you pace it up a little bit, it's going to go that much faster.
That's right.
Vagina, not that way.
Not at all.
Could be 10 minutes, could be never, could be the end of time. You just see, that's why you're really taking your chances when you're heading down.
Yeah, but that is why guys are all effed up. They cannot figure this out. I mean, they have experience with one woman. They figure that's how they all are, and they're all vastly, vastly different. But weren't you talking about this? Guys are totally visual, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what confuses women, I think we talked about this at dinner the other night, for the man, every man has his visual sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't change that. You can't move yourself into it by dressing a certain way. You know what I mean?
Oh.
Guys have visual taste, and that's it.
No, you mean if a guy likes leggy blondes and you're a haunchy brunette, but don't worry, I got myself a new teddy. That's not going to make a dent.
Guys, confuses women because they don't understand that. The guys have their visual range.
Right.
And it's set. There ain't no change in it. That's
right.
That is what it is.
And unfortunately, 99% of you don't fall into it. That's the problem. That's why that 1% is in real demand. There's like several hundred thousand guys going after the one, and then the rest, hey, hold my beer. Let me just say one thing real quick, and then we're going to play a little Germany or Florida. This is what's scary about going down on a chick as a guy.
What's scary?
If someone told...
Besides everything.
You never know how long you're going to be down there.
Yeah,
it's like somebody saying, look, we're going to submerge your head in water. We might let you
ice water.
Ice water. We might let you up in 30 seconds. Could be 9 hours. You'd be like, whoa. You'd be freaked out. As soon as your head went under, you'd be like, holy S. You'd be freaked, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's like for us, ladies.
Yeah.
We don't know. We don't know if we're going to, if it's like falling into a frozen lake or it's just a quick dip.
But if there is anything you can do to make it a quick dip,
slow it down. Slow down that breathing. Don't panic. You'll drown. Thomas?
Yeah, hey.
Yahe.
Nanache.
Germany or Florida?
Yeah, I've got one. First, I wanted to ask Drew. I heard you the other night mention the drama of the gifted child.
Yeah.
And I asked my dad about that, and he's a therapist. You've met him, and he's got that book.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, like, if I would like that. Like, I read your book, and I liked it a lot. And I was,
thank you.
I wanted to get more in depth, and I was wondering if that kind of thing would be the kind of thing for me to read.
Oh, tell me, yes.
It's more about, that's more about, yeah, it's about codependency and boundaries and things. And if you really want to get in depth, look into the work of Alan Shore, S-C-H-O-R-E, or Peter Fonagy.
A-G-I.
And actually, I'll tell you what. Here's a book that if you're really ready to slog through something, it's called Healing Trauma.
Healing Trauma?
Healing Trauma by a guy named Dan Siegel.
All right.
That's really got the stuff in it.
Talk to me on the website.
Please, thank you for buying my book. I've not promoted my book in so long.
Yeah, it feels so
I heard
like
that you didn't
minutes.
Get any money for that. Is that right?
No, I didn't make much money for it. But I sold through, and I got my first. I actually got a residual check today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Like, wow, I couldn't believe it.
$8.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
All right, Thomas. All right. Germany or Florida?
Here it is. All right. Teachers in a school were tested in a hospital after gobbling up anonymously donated chocolate cake. Unaware, it was laced with hash or pot, authorities said on Thursday. Some 10 teachers from the school were treated for nausea and dizziness after sharing a cake left at the door to their staff room, a police spokesman said. They thought it was food poisoning, but the doctors quickly recognized the problem, the spokesman said. They showed all the classic signs of people under the influence of drugs. The spokesman said the teachers had not suspected anything because it was customary for them to buy cakes from the school children as part of a fundraising project. Blood tests and a sample of the uneaten slice of cake revealed it had been doctored with the drug.
The way he's hiding the drug makes me think Germany.
No, I was thinking Germany already.
Yeah,
I was thinking Germany from the beginning. I'm not sure
they're
why.
The
cake.
They like cakes. Yeah.
Cake made me think Germany.
It's not a cupcake. It's not a donut.
And people wouldn't in Florida. They wouldn't share their drugs. They squirrel those drugs away.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going Germany.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
you guys are right. It's Germany.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right.
Listen, thank you.
Good job,
God
Thomas.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Don't try to screw with us. Are you sure?
That was good. That was good.
All right.
Come on. He's playing the game.
That was a good question.
Yeah.
That was a good Germany or Florida.
Well done. Well delivered. Yeah, that's good.
It's funny. Germany popped in my head a couple beats into
cake.
It. Here were the beats. I really mean it. I couldn't picture kids in Florida sharing their weed.
Yeah.
That was number one. Like, if you're in Florida, you're a kid, you got your hands on some weed. It's going to your head, as we say in the game. The other thing was cake, for some reason, like we don't consume 70 billion metric tons of cake in this country. But somehow the idea.
Yeah.
And the idea that teachers would eat
the cake that was left.
That were left by the kids to sound too old world.
That sounds old.
Yeah, here it sounds like they have to get put through some sort of screening device or something. You know what I mean?
Or that would be against policy or something. You know, it just would be the cake that was.
This country's so effed up with all that nonsense.
Yeah.
All that, everything's got to be like, every time a car goes in reverse, there's a beeper going off. I mean, we're all effed. The terrorists, talk about the terrorists winning. The lawyers have won. We're more effed because of them than because of the terrorists. But between the lawyers and the terrorists, that's it. You can just go to the airport, take your shoes off, get patted down, you can't drink your beer out of a bottle, the ballpark, because you might throw it onto the field.
I was thinking that today. Listen,
we're done.
I was thinking that today when I walked by the NBA All-Star game, and I was walking outside, and there were so many police and army and stuff, and I thought, wow, even I'm uncomfortable with this, and I like that kind of thing. You know what I mean? I don't bother me. And I thought, this is just, what, really?
Yeah. We're done. The lawyers won, and then the terrorists won. Yeah, it's like we're going to break up the opening
Adam,
to the.
Thank God we didn't go down that slippery slope.
Yes, yes.
Those many slippery slopes the attorney saved us from.
Yeah, thank goodness they're there. All right, we're going to take a. I'm saying they bricked up the opening to the Statue of Liberty, or they're going for safety. It's like, look, eventually we should all just dig ourselves a hole and climb in it.
Start a new country.
Let's
start
just
over
do that.
Again.
Oh, I could work out. I could work out so many things. Oh, could I work things out? All right, we're going to take ourselves a All right. Let's take a break.
Right. We'll come back.
I'm getting fired up.
We'll come back
with
the new Constitution.
Getting angry now. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right. Back to the phones we go.
Yeah.
What the?
What?
What city is this up here?
Burlingame, Vermont?
I thought it was Burlington. I think there's a Burlingame?
Ask him. I'll take it.
Eh.
No.
What? What'd I do?
You pushed two.
Oh, I pressed the wrong two.
There you go.
Steve?
Yes.
Where are you from?
I'm from Burlingame.
Where is that?
It's in California, a little south of San Francisco.
Okay.
Sounds nice.
Yeah. It's nice.
All right.
What's up?
I stopped smoking pot 1 week ago tonight.
Yeah.
And I've been doing it for like 6 years.
That's going to be rough.
Oh, man.
That's going to be rough.
And
that will not work unless you do something to, for lack of a better way, treat the condition you've got.
That's what I gathered from your book, which I read and loved.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Just check out MA. Just call Mary. You'll find 100 Steves there. People with your story, people who have been where you've been, people can support you through this. Because if you get what I was saying in the book, it really is other people that help us regulate and get through things. We certain things we can't do. I was thinking about this the other day. It's like having a trainer or a dietitian. You know, if you mm-hmm. you don't when you have another person there, you do it.
Right.
You they give you the support. And with this disorder, particularly the emotions and the misery and all that, you need to have other people there to help sort of regulate all that with you. Because it just overwhelms.
I understand, and that's part of the reason why I'm calling. I'm wondering how many meetings you recommend I go to per week.
Well, I don't want to overwhelm you with that. You just go to one, you get yourself a sponsor, and you follow his direction, okay?
All righty.
That's all you got to do.
Can I
all
ask right, you buddy. One more
yeah.
question?
Yeah.
What about taking sleeping pills, prescription or over-the-counter? Is that supplementation or...
No, because you're withdrawing now. The withdrawal can last a couple of weeks, and the sleeplessness is part of that. If you can get by with just Benadryl, like 25 or 50 milligrams of bedtime, that's great.
What are you talking about? Which one is that?
Benadryl is just an antihistamine, and it can help you sleep. It's over the counter.
Really?
Yeah, Benadryl.
I thought the antihistamine zipped you up.
Some people, but usually they put you down. Benadryl particularly puts you to sleep. It's the decongestants that pick you up. Well, decongestants, the Sudafed and all that.
Oh, okay,
up.
But. Okay.
Benadryl puts you down. And Steve, there are...
What form does it come in? A pill?
Yeah, the capsule, 25 milligram capsule.
Yeah, for having congestion?
It's for allergies, really.
For allergies? Yeah. I thought that made people zippy. People always complain about that. All right, well, why don't you just get a sleeping pill?
Well, that's the other thing, Steve. If you really, for a week or so, if you talk to a doctor who's used to dealing with this, there are...
Not a prescription. I mean, just go get a regular sleeping pill, like over-the-counter.
Because you know what's in those over-the-counter sleeping pills?
Huh.
Benadryl.
Hot.
Benadryl.
Oh, well, yeah, but shouldn't... Okay, but here's what I'm saying. If I want to sleep and I don't have any kind of problem with antihistamines, should I be taking the antihistamine or should I take the sleeping pill?
They're the same if they're over-the-counter. Sleeping pills over-the-counter is actually just antihistamines.
All right, if I got Tylenol PM or
Tylenol PM.
Simply Sleep or...
If you got Tylenol PM, I can't swear it for all the products, but if you got Tylenol PM and Benadryl, same thing.
All right, but then there's a whole bunch of other, like Sominex or whatever, there's sleeping pills.
Generally, those basically have Benadryl in them. That's basically what they are.
Okay, but why not just get the sleeping pill if you're going to be sleeping? Why are you getting an antihistamine pill?
Because
for?
That's what's in the sleeping pills. It's more expensive. It's fine, whatever.
It's more expensive?
Yeah, it's just a different way to do it. And it's harder to adjust the dose and stuff. With Benadryl, you take 25 or 50 milligrams, you're done. That's it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to be angry when I come in, though. Something's going to happen.
Let me look. I'll look it up on the computer.
You look it up.
The doses are and stuff.
All right.
But the fact is, because pot withdrawal can be pretty miserable, something like Klonopin or Librium, those kinds of drugs may be necessary. So
hey, but good times.
Good times. You know? Yeah.
I went to the symphony last night. Yeah.
Now, why did we both think of that simultaneously?
I don't know. I was thinking about it.
Yeah. How was it?
Oh, it was good. Except a couple experiences.
What'd you hear? First of all,
I have no idea. Okay. Went to the new. I didn't even get a flyer. Or brochure, or whatever.
You on time?
I don't know what I was looking at. Hold ass, made it on time, and then did this. See, Drew's wife and Drew scared me because, first off, Drew's, we went out to dinner last night, my wife and Drew's wife and me and another couple. And we had to cut out just a little bit early because my wife got us tickets to the symphony, which I've never been to, which I've always wanted to go to.
And in the new big concert hall.
And the new Disney whatever thing. It's a really great looking, it's a beautiful place to see a concert. So I've always wanted to go, never have. Well, I can't say I've always wanted to go, but...
Recently thought you should go.
I recently thought I should go. Yeah. And it's fine. I enjoy myself. And so I was talking to, you know, it started at 8. And we were, like, eating dinner. It was, like, 7:30. And, you know, it was going to be traffic and stuff. And so, you know, I said to Drew's wife, what time do you got to... Oh, they start at, like, 8:04, 8:05. You know, I figured it was, like, a concert. And, you know, concert says it's starting at 8. It's, the band goes out on stage at, like, 8:35, 8:45 or something. You know, I figured it'd be at least 10, 15 minutes. No, as it turns out, it's just a couple of minutes. And then the other scary part is you get locked out. Once they start, you're locked out until they take their break. So we're hauling ass. I'm running up the escalator. Get to the top of the stairs. There's some chicks there. It's like, oh, my God, Loveline Adams. Great. I said, look, I know, you know, it's tight, right? And she said, yeah. I said, but do I got time to hit the bathroom? Oh, yeah, you'll make the bathroom.
Oh, no.
Run in the bathroom, take a leak, start hustling back. It's like a door shut. I was like, honey, really? She's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Your wife's in there?
No, my wife was standing up front, pissed off. And she's yelling at me. What'd you take so long? And I said, first off, I was pulling my dork out as I was going through the bathroom door. It's not like I stood there. So it was about a 37-second whiz. It was one of those whizzes that was an optional whiz. Yeah. Did not have to take it. That's that whiz of, look, if it's a two-hour car ride, I'm taking a whiz. But if we're just going over the hill, I'm cool. Unless you tell me we got plenty of time, in which case, you know, might as well be comfortable. So I asked the usher chick, you know, can I take the whiz? And she's like, yeah, go ahead. Oh, I figure she stands there every night, you know, for the last 5 years. She must know what the thing is. She was very apologetic, which was fine. But just the idea that I didn't have to take the whiz, we got locked out. But here's the thing I was thinking about. First off, nothing hotter than a Asian fiddle player. You know what I mean? Playing that violin.
Yes.
It's very hot.
Yes.
It's sexy.
In the
evening gown evening and everything. Gown, yeah, the black purple, evening gown, and they're just going away at that fiddle. Very nice. Secondly, the conductor. I thought if you cannot be a conductor with like a buzz cut.
You have to have big hair.
Not only do you have to have big hair, you have to have hair that comes undone. That lets everyone know just what you've been up to for the last 45 minutes to an hour. It's like this guy had sort of the half comb over and the thing, and he's going with his hands and he's doing his thing. And, you know, and then, you know, turn around, and hair, he just looks like he put his dork in an electric socket, you know. And it's like stuff's flopping over. You just got, you know, the point is if you're going to be a good conductor, you got to put yourself back together when you're done because it looks like you've been doing something.
Yes, that's right. That's good.
And the guy would leave and come back like 45, 50 times.
That's very dramatic.
At the but it's like, it's the end of the concert. I got no idea what to expect. The concert ends. I think it ends. I'm not sure. Not sure. He gets up and he immediately storms out. Someone opens the door. Boom, he storms out. As long as it takes him to turn back around, he storms right back out again. Does a quick bow, storms back out again. It's about a 30-foot walk till he gets off stage. Then basically turns around. He's not back there toweling off, and he just, you know, takes a comb over and knocks it back into place. Pow, he's right back out again. Now sort of a three-quarter bow. Pow, he's off the stage
orchestra.
Again.
Orchestra.
Not even yet. He went back and forth like 14 times, and then it was like orchestra, yes, yes, yes.
First violinist,
yes, yes. And now it's back out again. Now he's back out. Six or seven times. Back and forth, but not hanging back.
Right.
And not no encores.
Right.
Just back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
You should see the opera.
Oh, really? Thousands of backs
and forths,
huh?
Each character has to come out and get a couple.
Oh.
And then they all have to come out together. And then they go back. Then they all come out together with the conductor. And then they all go back. Then the conductor comes out by himself. And
really?
Then they go back. And then the conductor with the leads. And then they go back. It's crazy.
Nobody left either, by the way. I guess it's considered rude. Oh, man, my hands were going to fall off.
What'd you hear?
Just clapping and clapping. I heard that Japanese chick playing the fiddle.
What was it? What was the
I don't know what it was. I only recognize one of the songs from like a
Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Probably. I don't know. But it was enjoyable. I had the only guy in the entire venue in front of me was yelling Bravo, by the way, which I like because it was like old school. Bravo! You know, it's like a car. Like, it's like Attack of the Nerds in there, though. Just a bunch of, you know, sort of husky guys in tweed jackets. And, the straight guys are heavy. The homos are skinny. And they're, like, screaming Bravo. And they're, you know, they're pounding on. Oh, it's great.
Oh,
all right. So,
you went to the new Disney Center. Joining the cultured elite now. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Proud of you.
Sarah?
Hello?
You're 24?
Yeah.
What's up?
I was wondering what kind of cure there is for like an infection, urinary infection thing.
It hurts when you pee?
UTI, yeah.
Antibiotics. You got to call your doctor.
Okay, I did that and they didn't work, whatever.
What do you mean they didn't work?
I mean, I took them for a week and it's still there.
What'd you take? What antibiotic?
I don't know.
Was it Septra?
Huh?
Septra, something like that? Bactrim?
M-E-T-R-O something, metrozidon.
Oh, metronidazole. Woo, that would not work for this at all.
Really?
He thinks you have a yeast or a sexually transmitted disease or vaginitis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean yeast. A vaginitis or a sexually transmitted disease.
I thought the metro was for yeast, too.
No, that's the flu cans for the yeast.
Oh.
Flagyls, metronidazole. And that will not work for urinary tract infection at all. So what kind of doctor was that?
Like a Chinese doctor. She's
Chinese doctor.
Like a pediatrician.
I see.
Yeah, you're 24. You're seeing a pediatrician?
25. Huh?
And you're 25 and you're seeing a pediatrician?
Well, not a pediatrician, but it's like a small clinic, so I don't think they know what they're doing over there.
Well, they thought you had a vaginal infection. And you probably have a bladder infection, so you need more appropriate antibiotics. So call
it's
them.
It's a nice little touche, though. You're 24 and you're seeing a pediatrician? 25. Ah, touche.
Yeah. Oh, why'd you say so?
That's different. 40 would have been even better, but all right. Get back in there. And let me tell you something, y'all. What kind of doctor? Chinese. she's probably on a roll for my Asian fiddle player.
Yeah, yeah.
Very sexy. Very sexy.
Young, too, usually.
Oh, see, that's crazy. That's the whole thing about the orchestra there. The only ones under 25 or 30 are the Asian
soloists.
Chicks.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a hot. And then there's the harp chick. There was two harp chicks playing the harp, and I think to myself, what gets you on to the harp? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how do you even... I don't think I even saw a harp in person before the age of 30.
Yeah.
I don't know what gets you on to the harp.
Yeah.
The other thing I like is the percussion guys. Guy just sitting there, he's got a triangle. He's bored off his ass. He's holding that triangle, and he's just holding it, holding it, holding it. Like 8 minutes later, doink, sits back down again. And I thought, hey, that's
your
my
job.
Gig.
Yeah,
yeah, because those fiddlers, I mean, they're
working.
They're losing 5-6 pounds and body weight up there. You know, they're sweating it off. They got towels everywhere. But the guy plays a triangle, and once in a while he puts that up and he picks up a drumstick and he whacks something once. That's a good gig. All right, we're gonna take a little break. Screw's boyfriend, Les boyfriend, he can't get her off. Huh? Screw's boyfriend,
Les.
Because he can't get her off. Used to fake. Now frustrated. Speak to young
surprise,
Heather.
Surprise.
After this. Hey, everybody. Loveline, madam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
I want to say, please, people, support my book. I haven't talked about it in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called Cracked, and I really want people to read it.
Yeah, so. It's important.
Where's Dr. Drew?
What was that?
Where is Dr. Drew? Oh, you know, Drew, the show goes on even without you.
Is that my kids asking for me? Or what?
We had Dr.
Where's Dr. Drew?
Dr. Alter in here.
How was it? You learn anything more about genital reconstruction?
No.
No.
I learned, I was calling him I was basically saying that his stock and trade was gender reassignment.
Yeah.
And, that was basically what he was known for. And he said, well, that's untrue. Uh-huh. And I said, all right, well, when did you do your last gender reassignment?
Today.
Yesterday.
I said, did you ask him about the three-limbed individual stuck in a four-limbed body?
Oh, I yelled at him with that, there's a woman. What's the matter with you?
it's retarded. You're
like retarded. I told him that the woman trapped inside a man's body, like it's some legitimate, like a legitimate medical condition, like you have a parasite in you or something. I mean, really, replace man, you know, replace woman trapped inside. Put Elvis, put Napoleon, put Jesus an octopus, Christ. Put Jesus Christ, put a giraffe. It's all the same, isn't it? You've made up something that doesn't exist and said it lives inside of you and is looking to get out. Yeah, it's a giraffe living. I want my neck extended.
Again, even just something simpler, like I'm a nine-fingered person stuck in a 10-fingered person's body.
Yeah.
Could you take the finger off.
Yeah, you pick the finger. Not the pinky on my right hand. That's for picking my nose.
And not the middle finger.
Yeah, I'm going to need that. I'm going to need that for my folks. Yeah, it's great. All right, let's keep rocking here,
okay,
Drew.
Let's go.
Yeah, I yelled at him. But, you know, he's such a lovable guy. It's hard
smart,
to,
too.
It's hard to keep
Super
up.
Super smart.
Yeah. But not so smart that after piling it on and then asking him when he did his last gender reassignment, he didn't think to lie. He had to say yesterday. Like I knew.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Got some anesthesiologist buddy of mine told me differently. Like if he said, like, 2 months ago.
Come on.
I had to get some inside dope on him.
Like, help me.
All right. Heather?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Adam. What's going on?
What's happening, Heths?
Nothing. Don't call me Heath. I just want to tell you I love you so much, and you got me through puberty.
Thank you.
Yeah,
are you
my friend Kaylee is here, too. She loves you. I love you,
yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. What is up, ladies?
Nothing. I'm just having a little problem with my boyfriend. Lately, I don't know, we've been dating about 5 months, and recently I kind of stopped faking it, and it's kind of screwed up our sex life because now he realizes he can't get me off. He's all distracted, and he gets all weird. And like, we didn't have sex yesterday on Valentine's Day, and like, everything just sucks. So I don't know. I guess I want some advice on how to make him feel at home.
Well, a couple things. Hang on. First of all,
at home.
Are you sure this relationship is meant to survive?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I really love him and everything. I'm in for the long run. Right.
And you understand by faking it, you're having done that. Now he knows you were faking it all this time?
Well, yeah. Now he does, yeah.
He does. And that's pretty shattering to a guy.
Now he does because he has a radio?
Every girl's fake? I mean.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. How old is this guy?
He's 18.
18. You guys been together for how long?
About 5 or 6 months now. Probably almost 6.
Okay. And did you tell him you were faking or does he have a radio?
He doesn't have a radio. I hope he's not listening.
You told him, though.
You told him.
Yeah, I basically told him.
Okay, that's
tough for guys to take.
That's taking a dump in his punch bowl.
But he'll never learn if I didn't say that.
No, yeah, we're all for that. We're all for you being honest about it. We don't think you should have faked in the first place. But here's the thing about guys.
I do.
Yeah. But here's the deal. This again, having been thinking about this, working for the Trojan Condom people this week, I was thinking about men and women and how different we all are. Men cannot imagine having sex without an orgasm. That is, mm-hmm. especially if you're aroused and into it. If you are actually excited, hold on. If you are actually excited and it doesn't end in an orgasm, that we can't get our head around that, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
right.
No. The only way we can rationalize is, well, you're not into it,
mm-hmm.
or you have a brain tumor. It's like, mm-hmm. we just can't figure it out.
Uh-huh.
So his assumption is either you're not into it, which is bad times for him, or he's just got to figure out how to unlock the code.
Right.
And neither likely to be the case.
All right. So the answer is don't get pregnant. He can start easing himself back into a rhythm, but she almost sounds a little...
I doubt she's ever had an orgasm.
Yeah. She says she loves him, but she's also a little bit of a ball breaker.
Oh, yeah.
Heather's kind of hot, though. Heather?
Yeah.
You're a good-looking chick, right?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Yeah.
Have you ever had an orgasm?
Yes, I have.
With a guy?
Yeah, with my other boyfriend.
Ooh, he'll love that.
Yeah.
No, I mean...
Listen,
we don't think you're that into this guy.
I don't think you're that into the guy. Not only do we think you're not that into the guy, but we think there's a little payback going on.
I told him I can be happy when I don't have an orgasm. I mean, as long as I get to some point. But now he won't even have sex with me because he's scared to.
Did he cheat or anything like that?
I hope no. I don't think so.
Are you mad at him for something?
Not really.
Not really.
All right.
We've been fighting a lot kind of lately.
All right. It sounds like that. We were picking up on that.
There's a little venom in your voice.
Yeah. There's a little frustration and like hostility. And
yeah.
That's why we're wondering whether you're really into this
guy. Maybe I'd just chalk this one up to experience and move on. Are you that much into him?
You're just in love with being in love with him.
And what happened to your last boyfriend? Who dumped who?
He dumped me.
All right.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. Mad at guys.
Yeah, mad at guys. And this guy's a little rebound, a little confidence builder. Not quite up to Heather's number, and Heather knows it. Like, Heather's a good 8.5, but she was dating a 9 who dumped her.
Yeah.
And now she slid down to a 7 to try to build herself back up. She's done building herself up. She's a little angry, a little weary.
Yeah. She's only bothered with him.
Break up with him. Yeah. Don't do him any more favors. And he's going to cling a little, so hang on.
Oh, boy.
Right. We'll take a quick break. Drew, easy, buddy. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Sounding,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Strokes.
Haircut 100. Oh no, Strokes.
Yeah. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, we're going back to phones now. A little earlier in the evening, I was talking about my night at the new Disney Center. Is that what it's called? What are they called?
Disney Concert Hall. Yeah.
Disney Concert Hall out here in Los Angeles. Went to the symphony last night with the old lady, and saying how a nice usher girl stopped me from, told me, gave me the green light on number one.
To go pee.
She gave me the green light on the yellow, and then we got locked out. Roxy?
Hi.
Was that you, baby doll?
That was me.
Yeah.
I am so, so sorry.
Usually
they start at least about 3 more minutes like after the time. So they'll start at like 8:08 instead of 8:05. So I really thought you were going to have a chance to go.
Yeah. That's all right. It's just my wife blamed me. That was the part.
She did. She totally did. When I went up there and said, oh my God, I'm so sorry, are you mad at me? She said, oh yeah, he's mad at you. He was just talking about how much he hated you.
Oh, what?
No, she didn't.
That's what she said. That's what she said.
She was kidding.
She was kidding. I was a delight to you, Roxy.
Roxy, what?
You were.
What?
You were such a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Roxy, he doesn't know what he heard. What were the pieces that were actually, who were the composers?
She doesn't know either.
Yeah, sometimes I'm so busy.
Who were they last night? Okay, Come on, I can't accept that.
Listen, Angie or Chris over here doesn't know both our names. He knows me. I'm not sure you are.
Roxy, you have no idea what the composers were last night?
No, I don't. I don't. I'm so sorry.
So disappointed. Poor Roxy, apologizing all the way around.
I know. I apologize for all kinds of things all the time.
Ooh, let's get into that.
Oh, come on, baby doll. How'd you get the gig as the usherette over there at the Disney Music Hall?
Okay, well, I started working there only because Bjork was going to perform at the pavilion across the street.
Uh-huh.
So that's how I got that job. And then when the Disney Hall opened up, they just moved most of us over there. So I work at all the theaters there. Not just that, one of them.
Oh, cool. Okay. All right. And how many theaters do they have there?
Well, the Amundsen's, the Mark Taper, and the Chandler.
So you work at all those, huh?
The Pavilion, and then the new Disney Hall.
That's a decent gig.
It's a great gig.
I could see myself.
Yeah, you get to listen to great music all the time.
Yeah, that you never heard of and don't know what its origins are. But,
exactly.
At least she doesn't pay for it like you do.
She's smart. She's wearing that blazer. It's looking good.
Yeah, that thing is kind of heavy sometimes, but
yeah, you look good in the blazer.
It's warm.
Gray slacks. It's a smart look.
A little tie.
Well, they were black. But yeah.
Oh, black slacks. Sorry, I had a nip of wine. You know how it goes.
I saw.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Well, I had to drink. I had to numb myself. Do you understand?
He had two drinks before he went inside. One. And one that he put down right before he went inside.
Oh.
When were you able to sneak him in?
I got him in 5 minutes after it started.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Good job, Roxy. Thank you.
No, I didn't have two drinks. I had the one drink.
Yeah, and then she doesn't know you had a bottle of wine before you got there with us.
What are you going to do? All right, Travis.
Hey, how you doing?
You're 20. What's up?
Well, fun stuff. First, I just want to say you guys are great. I think you guys probably have about the most balanced outlook on life of anyone.
Oh, so thanks, I've Travis.
Been impressed with you guys.
Well, here, let me explain something about our what you call a balanced outlook on life, which is other people on the radio would have a balanced outlook on life if they didn't lie. They just lie about stuff because they can't. Here's the whole thing about radio.
It's not just radio. It's our culture, right?
Yeah. The people you see on TV, and especially the people you hear on the radio, have a persona that they have to keep up, so you don't really get who they are. Like, here's the whole thing. I shouldn't be talking about going to the symphony. Do you understand? Because it doesn't bode well with my, you know, young, stupid, misogynistic, whatever persona I should have to do this half of the radio. You understand? And Drew shouldn't say he's in favor of legalizing marijuana because it wouldn't work well with his persona that radio dictates you should have. Our problem is we don't really have that, and so it seems like we're sort of sensible, and other people don't seem sensible. If you saw them, if you heard them off the radio, they would sound sensible, but they're not. They're cowards. They have to pick a strong angle. I don't really call it cowardly. What would you call it, Drew? They're insecure. Mm. They don't think they can be entertaining and sort of ride a fence.
Be real.
Yeah, they got to be black or white about something. If they're a Republican, they have to agree with everything Bush does. They're Democrat, they have to agree with everything Kerry does, and that's it. And they don't actually think that way. That's just the way they have to sound on the radio. Thanks, Travis.
Yeah, no problem.
So what's up?
I guess there's actually two questions. The second one's a little more serious. But first, I actually had basically just a condom broke last night. Not really normally concerned because my girlfriend's on birth control as well. But I guess she was about maybe like 12 hours off 2 days in a row with her pills. And, you know, we're worried, you know, how serious is that? You know, should we, you know, go to a doctor? Should we get a morning after pill?
So earlier in the month she was 12 hours off twice?
Or yeah, right up these past few days.
That's
late, 2 days in a row.
Well, there's not much you can do about that, really. It's going to be what it's going to be. She's probably fine. And I don't think.
What about morning after stuff?
So have her double down? Basically, we're talking about her doubling up on her pills.
She's
already on her pills. Where is she in the cycle? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
No,
good.
I just think it's going to work nearly as well as it's supposed to, just not exactly as well as it's supposed to missing it by a few hours like that. I don't think doubling down is going to add anything. I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay.
What's the next question?
My other thing, I guess this is kind of a little history. I've been basically smoking, you know, heroin, opium, whatever you want to call it, for about 6 months.
Yes.
Right.
And, you know, that's become a pretty serious problem. I've tried a lot of times to quit. I quit for, you know, a few weeks, and I kind of get drawn back because the withdrawals get pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not just the withdrawals. Once you get through the withdrawals, you're still going to go back unless you get treatment. That is a absolute guarantee. Opiate addiction is the most serious form of addiction, and it does not remit by itself. And everyone has a fantasy belief, if I could just get through the withdrawal, then I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. The fact is, it alters permanently the motivational priorities of your brain, and that requires treatment.
Mm-hmm. It really does.
All right.
So go to NA.
Go to NA, baby,
and see if you can get somebody, get some referrals.
How much can they do? Because I know there's a lot of drugs they can give you because it is an opiate thing. Is there stuff they can do to kind of ease the withdrawals at all?
Yeah, I treat it every day, but I do it. I don't treat opiate addiction outside a hospital. I just don't believe it's.
You don't do it out in the parking lot?
No. I require people to come in the hospital for it because it never works.
You mean just
stay in the hospital? Stay in the hospital for 5 to 7 days. And yes, it can make it very easy.
Not very easy,
much easier, yeah.
5 to 7 days?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
For what?
For opiate withdrawal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's no big deal. That's the thing that kills me. People have to go get general anesthesia and all this stuff. Opiate withdrawal, no problem. Get you through it.
But is there some sort of sober living or something they should go to after that?
Oh, yeah. They need. That's not treatment. They go
hang with you for a week, and then it's off to the loony bin.
No,
a bunch of guys chain smoking, putting stuff out in coffee cans. What is it, by the way, that these guys can't invest in ashtrays? You always see these guys, they're always sitting on the picnic tables, they got the trash, they got the coffee can with some sand in it and stuff. They never just have regular ashtrays. I don't know what that is.
Ashtrays are not cool anymore. Those are from the 50s.
It's such a volume of smoking that goes on.
I think that's part of it, that the sheer magnitude would overwhelm any ashtray.
You can't have the Holiday Inn ashtray. You got to have just like a huge 5-gallon Sanka can there, a Hills Brothers can or some of these guys. You always seem sitting out on the picnic table just smoking.
It's good times.
You know, the thing that's funny about when you see people go out and smoke, sometimes it's a social thing, but most of the time the only thing they have in common is the smoking.
Yeah.
So it's like five people sitting at a picnic table with their backs all turned to each other smoking.
My favorite place is the little bins at the airport they all have to go into.
I love that, too. They should have, they're constantly beating on kids not to smoke, you know?
Yeah.
They really need to arrange field trips to the airport.
Yeah, to see
it. You can take them to the Vegas airport there. Look at it. It's really like a terrarium for smokers.
Yeah.
Like kids could come up, like don't feed them, Johnny. I got some extra honey roasted nuts. No.
Have you seen that 60s gate terminal at the United where they've got the outdoor bin?
Oh yeah,
that's great. That's
great. But at least that's outdoors.
Yeah, but it's got high fences around it. It looks like a holding tank.
I like the box.
Yeah, the glass box.
The glass box. You can just go in and observe the smoker in his natural habitat. It's great. Like, they really should just throw like a tire swing in there, be like a monkey cage. You know, and everyone's just sitting there smoking. Everyone's just walking by looking at him like, loser. You're so chained to your addiction, you can't even make it out to the curb, you know, or you're getting onto the plane and you got to suck a butt up, you know. Yeah. And of course, now, however much smoke you're taking in when you're smoking a cigarette, it's got to be 70 times as much as soon as it's like firemen don't go into that kind of environment.
Why do you have to light up in there?
Yeah,
go and take a couple deep breaths.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Like, if you're running low on butts, as a matter of fact, you just
save some money.
Break a filter off and just put it in your mouth and put like a funnel on the end of the
filters in your nose.
Two filters in your nose and then one with a funnel on the end of it, like a Dr. Seuss horn. You just sit there just smoking everyone else's smoke. That's great. I just love the glass thing, and there should just be a field trip. Kids should come up. They should line up. Take a look at the smokers, everybody. This could be you.
It'd be good.
Yeah. All right. And by the way, whatever's going around on that plane, I guarantee is worse than a couple of cigarettes from a respiratory standpoint. True. At the six, you know, you're flying 18 hours into Taiwan. But some guys on the plane's got SARS. But believe me, there's something weird going through that plane. Whatever's going through that plane,
every patient that I see in my practice that ends up going to the Orient, to Asia, comes back with a respiratory infection every time they go.
Well, they smoke. They're all smokers. Corey?
Yes?
You're 16?
Yes.
At least in Vegas, they have slot machines in the smokers thing, so you can sit there and sort of double down on two addictions.
Is there a smokers thing in Vegas? Isn't it a smoking airport?
No, there's no smoking airports anymore.
Wow.
I don't think there's any smoking airports in the United States, but there is. Vegas has the cage.
Well, their cage is elsewhere too. There's some really
ones. Some great ones. All right, go ahead, Corey.
Florida ones. For Dr. Drew.
Yeah,
and I was wondering if you knew of any. Weight support groups in Maryland.
What do you mean, overeating?
Yeah, correct.
What are you coming in at?
About 250 and about 5'11".
Mm-hmm. And you're 16?
Yes.
Are your parents big?
No.
They're not?
Well, my mom is, but my dad, he was in the Navy, so he's not like huge, but I mean, he's average.
Carrie, you're overthinking everything. You've got everything all figured out.
The Navy doesn't.
Yeah.
Listen, remember Gilligan's Island, the skipper? Fattest guy on the island.
He was in the Navy, too.
He was in the Navy. That's right.
Captain in the Navy.
Skipper.
Whatever.
I don't know what the hell he was. He was drummed out for hitting a guy with his hat. True. What happened to people hitting people with their hat? Not
they don't
so
wear
popular
hats anymore.
Okay,
they don't wear hats. So,
all right, so Corey.
Yes.
Let's talk about your diet. You eating a lot?
Well, actually, me and my dad are starting up this Body for Life program. Mm-hmm. To hopefully that'll help me lose some weight.
All right, that's a good program.
So I play football and all.
How does that?
Do play football?
Yes, I do.
How does that program go? What do you
eat? It's just an exercise.
You eat six meals a day, and it's basically you try and eat as many or you try and even out your protein and carbs. Yeah, so you try and get the same amount of protein and carbs. Right. And
it's a pretty reasonable diet. A lot of exercise, a lot of cardio in it.
All right,
The other options are get a dietitian. Mm-hmm. And have them follow with you, or go to OA if you wish. But I don't think it doesn't sound like you need that kind of thing. You're a big guy.
What you're doing? What position you playing football?
Tackle.
All right.
How small do you need to get?
Well, it's not the matter of how small. I'd just rather. I just want to lose some weight, so I'd.
That's fine.
I guess I'd have more confidence because later on I'd like to be going to the Marines.
All right.
This is all going to take care of itself. Yeah. This is what you call baby fat, I bet you.
Yeah. And listen, they'll take whoever rolls into that recruiter's office. Like, we have a very stringent test. You're in. It's like the smoker's pen at the Vegas airport. Like, here's what you need to get in. Feet. That's how you get in. Initiation is you walking into the recruiter's office.
Actually in.
We'll take you. Yeah. I would imagine.
For the Marines?
I would imagine now, especially with everyone being recruited. I mean, all these guys that are in, these guys were all being called up, The guys, they thought they're putting in a weekend a month for a couple of years. And next thing you know, you're in Iraq. Mm. And by the way, that's going to be just bad timing.
Mm.
Because you go into the reserve and you figure, look, I'm with medical, dental, I put a couple of weekends in.
You figure most
of them
be called up for public, for National Guard type duty, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, there's a little looting going on. I got to hop in the back of a Jeep and drive down Beverly Boulevard. But no, you're in Iraq.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Oh, that's got to suck. All right, let's talk to Carly, who's 24. Carly?
Yes?
What's up, baby doll?
Hi. Oh, my gosh. I love you guys both.
Yeah, thanks.
I wanted to... It's funny because the call you took is kind of on the same lines as mine. I wanted to ask Dr. Drew some questions about therapists and confidentiality.
All right.
I wanted to talk to one about, an eating disorder, and I just didn't know if they thought something was life-threatening, could they get outside help and, commit me to a hospital?
Yes, if they thought your behavior was going to kill you, or that you were actively trying to kill yourself, yes, eventually you get help is brought up to
you. What are the rules with that?
There's three basic conditions where people can take over. One is where you plan to harm yourself. Mm-hmm. Two is where you plan to harm somebody else. And three is where you're what's called gravely disabled, which means you basically can't take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. I think that's me.
Yeah. You border on that, yeah.
All right. Yeah. What? So what do you got, eating disorder, Carly?
I think so. I don't know. I just wanted to talk to somebody.
Think how many people have eating disorders and are not committed. It's very hard call to say somebody's imminently going to die kill themselves because of eating disorder.
Just be upfront with your therapist and take care of your eating
disorder. Here's what this is all about, Carly. You don't want to get well. And that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Because
33 pounds.
Carly, they're going to make you get well, and you don't want to do that.
33 pounds. How much do you weigh now?
123.
Mm-hmm. And you want to get down to 90?
Yeah, well, I'm short. I'm 5'4".
5'4".
Once I do that, then I'll stop. But I just want to talk to somebody because I think I'm going about it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll start with the dietitian.
90 pounds is a little bit light for 5'4".
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah.
Dietitians are $15 a minute.
All right, Carly, here we go. You just don't want to do this. That's the bottom line here. You don't want to. You don't want anybody to tell you what to do. You know you're doing something dangerous, but you don't really want to change. That's the bottom line. It's the bottom line.
I just don't know how to,
There's a piece of you that's healthy and it wants to do what's right. You can either do it or not.
It's starting to scare me a little bit about how I'm doing things.
That's right. And you're going to harm yourself, and you know you are, but you ain't about to stop. So it means there's a lot more going on here you don't want to deal with than just the eating.
Well, let me explain this to those who have this eating disorder. And I know Drew always yells at me for trying to talk a little sense into people that have a disorder, but here goes anyway for Carly and anyone else who's trying to do it. In your mind, when you look in the mirror, you always see a fat person. Even at 90 pounds, you're going to see someone who's fat. As a society, and this is what you really need to be focusing on, pleasing society.
Well,
thank you. Man. 90 pounds is abnormally skinny and grotesque in its own way.
Unattractive.
And I'll put it this way. Most guys I know would take a chick that had 10 extra pounds on her, maybe 20, rather than one that was sort of emaciated.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, especially when you're a man like Drew of extreme passion, where you could physically hurt somebody of that size. Weakened bones, smaller pelvis areas, less muscle and flesh on them. Drew literally snapped them like kindling with his passion. You understand? So, as screwed up as you are and as bad as you feel about yourself, and as, you looking in the mirror seeing a fat chick staring back.
And that's going to solve everything.
There's got to be there's a part of your mind that can throw out some numbers, can dial the phone, can talk to us. And I am telling that part of your mind that 90 pounds and 5'4 is grotesque looking.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
That's right. But that this decision to make things good and to manage your feelings by correcting all your problems with weight loss, that's the bigger issue here. There's something really going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's, but good times.
Good times. Sure. Yeah. Of course.
All right. She's got to, should she just start with OA or something, or what should she do?
No, she needs a professional in her life, either it's a dietitian or therapist, whatever. No one's going to force her into a hospital with the way she's thinking at this stage of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And, start taking direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's all very simple. No one can force you to do things you don't want to do, but there's a lot more going on here than you realize.
Speaking of eating, by the way, and oh my God, I swear to, I've been effed in the A by this. Literally the last two times I went out to eat, which is I went out with Drew last night.
That
was last night. Wanted the prime rib. The reason I wanted the prime rib is because the last time I went out to dinner to a different place a week earlier, ordered the prime rib and was told it was a mistake. It was not on the menu. That shouldn't be on there. Now, here's the whole thing about ordering, everybody. Man, when you see something, it is a visceral, primal reaction. I mean, when you think about ordering food, and especially when you're hungry, and especially when you're not at the falafel joint. You're at a place that has, 40 different types of meat.
You've been looking forward to it all day.
You're looking forward to it. But, I mean, even if it doesn't matter if it's fish, if it's pasta, if it's chicken, whatever it is, you taste it. In your mind,
you want it,
and you sort of lock into it a little bit.
Yeah.
And when you have the discussion with the waiter/waitress about it and then make your decision, even if it was between this one and that, it's between the T-bone and the prime rib. Once you establish one, when they come back and tell you we're out of it, it's like you're ready just to pick up and go home. Yeah, yeah. Like it's devastating.
The train has left the station at that point.
It's just
gone. Yeah.
And whatever comes after that is fine, but it's not
what you wanted.
I'm not going to be a drama queen and say the night has been ruined by that.
But you did say that. You said that last night.
Okay, yeah. Maybe I did.
Maybe not for radio, but you actually said it in person.
That may have been the wine talking. Yeah, but the point is it is substantially cut into the
and
evening.
And the waitress sold it to you with all kinds of extra sort of descriptions about the end cut.
That's usually
horseradish,
cream horseradish. And cut's a little, it's a little well-mulled.
And it goes
done.
Well
go
with the cream
center.
Mushroom. It's,
and then
spinach goes with it.
I said, I don't like the end cut because it would be a little dry, but I don't want the pink center. She's like, we'll give you a center cut and we'll toss it on the grill for a minute. We'll cook it up. We'll heat up less. Oh, yeah. And I'm picturing that horseradish sauce. And then they come back, and here's the thing.
Timing on that's key, too.
When you come back and you don't got that prime rib, you need to come back. You need to have an offering, first off. You can't have that, FYI, out of the prime rib, get over it, and let's pick something else. No, here's what you need. I need, listen, Adam, can we talk? Yeah, what's up?
Oh, it's an emergency.
Not here. Not here.
Let's come into our debriefing room.
We go out to the car. Smoke cigarettes. What's on your mind, baby? out of the prime rib. Oh, hold on. Shh, easy, easy. No! I start climbing out of the car. Adam, no! Don't do anything stupid! You take it out on yourself, man. Okay. And we talked about other meat options. And I brought this in. Yeah, that's what I need. I need to be debriefed. Yeah. Like, I need that. You know what I need? Like, the counselors that were waiting at the school after Columbine.
Yeah.
I need that group. I need that team to come out.
Then you need some compensation, too.
Now this is what we're talking. We're talking, look, we're knocking 10 bucks off the T-bone or the filet.
Yeah. And it's good. And then you need to be debriefed.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just the intro. That's to get you on board.
Yeah. And then it's okay. Yeah. Here's how it has to go. Yeah. Hey, Adam, good news and bad news. First off, good news. You're getting $20 off.
anything you want.
Anything you want.
Except the prime rib.
But, you know, I swear to Christ, all you got to tell me is we're going to throw in one more stock of asparagus, and I'd probably be happy to give you an extra dollop of sour cream on the potato. Something that whole, we're out, get over it. What's next? There should be lawsuits against restaurants, but they should have to just give you the. And it's not even a. Here's the whole thing, and we got to go to break, Drew. But here's what I'm saying: it's got nothing to do with money.
It's easing you out of the letdown.
Yeah, like
it's
easing you back. If you said, "Look, rather the prime rib, we're going to comp all the sides tonight." You go, huh?
Yeah.
The
reality is they could say.
And you just tip them twice as much.
This is Rita. She's a massage therapist.
Yes.
She's going to give you a rub down. Now, during the rub down, I got to have a conversation with you.
I was devastated. And, you know, the food was great, but the whole. Oh, I just spilled warm out. The whole time I'm eating, it's like, this could have been prime rib. And I would argue. You know, being out of the prime rib is not like being out of the salmon.
No, no.
This is a visceral. Yeah, this is fat and horseradish and burnt flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a ritual, too. All right, here we go. Breaking.
All right, we got to take a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er. All right. Back to the phones.
What do you think? Let's go over here.
All right.
There we are.
Talk to Lacey.
Hey there.
You're 30. What's up?
I was calling to ask you guys if I should tell someone I just started dating what my part-time job is and if it would freak most guys out.
Well,
attorney, what is the part-time job?
Well, I'm a phone sex actress.
Mm-hmm. Phone sex actress.
Or I like that. Operator, right?
Operator. How long have you been doing that?
Phone sex operator is really not a great. It sounds like you're going to patch you over to a vagina.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a phone sex actress, right?
Right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
That's what you are.
How long have you been doing that?
Only about a month and a half.
Month and a half.
How's the money?
Pretty good, actually. I average about $600 every 2 weeks, and that's just logging on when I'm home doing nothing.
Oh, really? So you just make it when you want, huh?
Right.
What does your male friend do?
He's a security guard.
Security. He'll be fine.
he'll get right over there. He ain't much of a gig either. Yeah, how old is he?
True.
Huh? How old is he?
28.
All right.
He might get a little weird still. He's still got that 17-year-old energy lingering.
What else do you do?
I work for university.
I see.
Yeah.
And
doing an academic position?
Yeah. No, more administrative.
Okay.
And what, when you're doing the phone sex thing, how different are you than what you are physically and everything else?
I'm taller than I really am. I'm actually pretty short, so I say I'm taller. Mm-hmm. And it depends on if the dispatcher tells me the guy wants a blonde, then I'm blonde. And
he's whatever the guy wants. She's whatever the guy wants.
Mm-hmm.
But I mostly see what I look like, except for my height.
Do you think the school will have any problem with what you're doing?
I don't know.
Yeah, who cares? How long is the average conversation?
They start at 5 minutes minimum, and I'd say average is about 15. And I've been on the phone with someone an hour and 20 minutes, sometimes 2 hours.
That's probably my old roommate, Ralph.
Yeah.
I used to get bills from, like, Singapore and stuff.
Yeah, seriously?
Sometimes we'd, like, we'd go out of the country. Yeah. Wow, a couple hours.
Right.
Yeah, it must have had a little whiskey dick going or something like that. It's probably
coked
up. You
know Ralph in the morning show?
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably, guy's probably pretty coked up.
Hey, right,
yeah, he's coked up. Do you think he was coked up?
Probably. I doubt it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and now, is there a role, is there, hang on a sec. Her line's crappy, but see, to me, if it was like 5 minutes and then it rolled over into another five or another 5 minute billing period or something, I'd be going like a maniac.
You're trying to get up to the, get it done by the 5 minutes.
What you don't want to do is like 5 minutes, 5 minute, 1 second, you're into the next billing period. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because then I would have to stay on.
To talk to her.
Because I'm cheap.
Yeah. Just to chat.
I'm so hot. Oh, do you have to keep talking?
I was like, what do you really look like?
Oh, tell you, I was down at the Home Depot today. What a disaster. Yeah, I'd just be talking about my mom. I'd be complaining about everything. I just had a call on those
weird
phone sex and just complain. You know, Drew, you and I are the same. Never called him on those phone sex. I got to see something. You know what? Phone sex to me would be like...
Well, guys are probably looking at something when they're talking to her, I bet.
Are they?
I bet.
To me, it's like calling a restaurant and they can describe their menu. Listen, I got to eat. I got to see something.
Yeah.
I don't want to just sit there with a guy going, you know, we've got a braised salmon and new broccoli flour. It's lightly poached. It's béarnaise sauce. Like, what am I doing? Either I'm coming over there and eating or I'm not. I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. I mean, it's nice. It gets me salivating a little bit, but now I'm hungry.
Well, I think it's the part that adds a person to the pictures. You know what I mean? Yeah. They have their own person there.
Lacey.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like a very lonely thing. Yeah. Not her, but the guys have been calling.
The guys. Now, do you ever fall in love with any of these guys?
No, but they want to send me gifts and things and.
Sure.
Yeah.
See that connection. Oof.
Oh, it's scary. Yeah, but it's always, I'm sure it's like, oh, baby, I'm gonna send you out a diamond tennis bracelet. Oh, I got to go. Right? They don't want to send you a gift after they bust a nut, do they?
No, I've never gotten, I don't.
They don't actually send the gift, the point is.
But... Yeah, they're like, I'm going to send you a gift. Hold the envelope open.
No, most guys just hang up. I mean, I think it's kind of rude. They don't even say thank you. They just hang up when they're done.
They're embarrassed.
You know why? Yes, because...
At first, they're driven. They have to do it. And then they're like, oh, my God, what have I done? Right? Wouldn't that be really...
Yeah. Right. You ever... now, anything weird like... let's see. Now, what percentage of guys perform oral on you? In their, fantasies.
About 10%, probably.
All right.
Good.
That's about right.
Good and low. Smart. Mm-hmm. And then what percentage get the anal?
When I mention it, most of them, all of them say they like that, so.
Is that something you actually like in real life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does like that, really.
Bring the anal up to me. I'll give you their only option, which other than agree to it or say they're into it. Go ahead, Lacey.
You want me to bring it up to you?
Yeah, bring it up. All right. Like we're having a phone sex conversation.
All right. Would you like to have anal sex with me?
Not really. I find that area of the body dirty. You're not going to have any of those guys. No. Right? Even if that's what they're thinking. They're like, yeah, baby. Oh.
Yeah. You want to know one of the strange calls I've had?
Yeah.
I had to throw up or make vomiting sounds for 7 minutes for this guy.
For how long?
7 minutes.
Oh, my God. 7 minutes.
Yeah. And
who's making a recording?
And
his buddy said video cameras on him.
Probably crank yankers. Yeah. And Anderson must be doing something tonight other than this. I'm just waiting for that David Allen.
He's just not listening. Chairman.
Oh, okay. But here's the thing, Lacey.
David Al Greer. Vomiting. We're talking about...
I don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It's cool. Thank you. Now, what did your What did your sound like? Could you do a fake heave?
Do you want me to do that?
Yeah, do it.
You ready?
Well, hold on. I gotta get my pants down. All right, go ahead.
Okay, ready?
No.
Okay, no?
No. I could not beat off to that. You're clearly an imposter.
Yeah.
But that wasn't her best.
Now, and did you
she
say
it for 7 minutes straight? Huh? I mean, you got to give a little, you got to strong together.
But were you like
here.
Saying to the guy, like, oh, yeah, that got like peas?
No, this vomit sounds the whole time. And he actually called for 5 minutes and he wanted to extend the call for another 2 minutes.
Oh, so
how did he bring that up? Forget how you bring up anal sex. How did he bring up the vomit thing?
No, right away, he just said, I want you to make vomiting sounds. So I said, okay. And I did.
Now, are these guys are they always beating off? I mean, are some guys pretend. What percentage of guys are pretending not to beat off? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No, they pretty much let me know they're doing it.
All right, that's nice.
One of the things that frightens me for you all that do this stuff, aside from the sort of what's the word I'm looking for? A global spiritual sense.
Well,
is that you're going to end up sort of hating men.
Because
I think women, when they really expose to how disgusting men can get, it's just like, ugh, forget it.
I have no idea.
Is there any part of you that gets excited at all when these guys have their orgasm?
Yeah, it depends on the call, but yeah, it works on me sometimes.
And is some guys, are you ever attracted to any of the guys?
Yeah, I mean, not attracted to, but some of them sound real. I mean, they're probably, I don't know what they would look like in real life, but no, some of them sound very nice.
So you're really having phone sex yourself, too.
But, yeah.
Sometimes I am.
Do any of the guys go like, well, I'm an attorney who lives in the Bay Area. I'm single. I'm 29. I enjoy triathlons and puppies. You know, I mean, can a guy sound hot like that? And do they ever try?
Yeah, they try. I have some people try to, if they find, you know, that I live in the area, they're like, oh, you know, come to my office in the morning. And they, you know,
no, that's not what he means. That's freaky.
I don't mean trying to F you in person. I just mean do guys try to sound.
They try to get you aroused, too.
Yeah, they tell me that, you know, they're well endowed, and they tell me, you know. I'm sure which is a lie, but.
They're not like, I'm calling from my mom's house. I'm in the basement.
No.
They
yeah.
sleep on a Murphy bed. Okay. All right. Well, good times. Yeah. Trying to vomit.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I love guys. You know, there is a whole fetish thing where guys are into vomiting.
Really? There's a fetish for everything for men. Everything.
Right? I know.
And that's what scares me for these poor women. It's bad enough when women come to terms with sort of how men's priorities work, that they're so visually and sexually preoccupied. But when they see they're exposed to how depraved it can get.
Yeah.
Ugh.
They're
going to go lesbian.
I like the part where they don't even say bye. Like, I'm going to love you all your life, baby. I'm going to give it to you to the cows. Slam the phone down. Not a thanks. See you again soon.
It just points out what men actually do on behalf of women. What they would be like if they didn't have to. You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Right? Yeah,
that's
bad.
I'm going to ride you off. Hang the phone up. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. When we come back, Allie sneaks peeks at other chicks. Not a lesbo after this. That's Dr. Drew. And right back to the phones, Drew, because this show, it's not about me.
Yeah, it's about phone sex operators vomiting.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Oh, what guys can beat off to.
Yeah.
What can't they beat off to?
That is a very, that's almost a rhetorical question. It's almost philosophical.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that can be answered.
Like the chicks in high heels vomit while they step on rodents.
Yeah, this is like, you know, how big is the universe?
Yeah.
I'm not sure we can get to that.
Well, as I've said many times, it takes all kinds.
Boy, it does.
Hallie?
Hey, what's up?
Is it Hallie?
Yeah, what's up?
good times. What's up there, Hallie? You're 17.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Hi, sorry.
Here's the kiss of death. Once in a while, I just belched up more garlic.
No, please, God, no.
Once in a while, I try to take a sip off of something after asking somebody. Like, here's the thing. If I say to somebody, what's your question or how's it going, and don't take the sip, they'll answer. If I say, how's it going, what's up, and then start to take a sip, they won't talk.
Yeah, I was like, well, huh?
They know I'm taking a sip. See?
Yeah, see how that works. I've seen it.
You will, too.
I've witnessed it.
Go ahead, Hallie.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Is it normal for me to be attracted to girls, but not really? Like, okay, I always look at, like a lot of my friends always have low-cut shirts. Mm-hmm. And I'm always looking at them, and I don't get turned on or anything when I look at them. I just, mm-hmm. I'm always looking at them. I don't know if I'm, like, sizing them or something. That's, I have no clue.
All right. That's what you do. Well, first off, women look at women like car manufacturers look at other cars at the auto show. Like, there's
checking
competition. They
got
to size things up.
They're sizing things
up. They might talk a little smack, but they got to go over and kick some tires and look around a little bit.
They may see a car they like. They can appreciate it.
They might see something they appreciate. They might realize
it's not
going to
abandon their sweet spot, but they may appreciate it.
And it may let them know that if they're ever on the same drag strip as this car, it may be time to turn off or to do, you know,
or
I mean? Like,
gather up their other friends and shun it, put it out of business.
This is competition.
Yeah,
women look at other women as competition, and to think about your competition, if you think about it, you study more than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're in the NFL, you watch films of the team you're going to play next. I mean, if you're a boxer, you know what I mean? It's like, how hard would you study this guy who you're going to fight next?
That's
you know, and it's sort of, if you look at that, we never really talked about that. There's women, it's interesting that women have an appreciation / fascination with the feminine form, and it would make sense.
Well, there's a sexual component to it because it is sexy, and that they can see it as such.
It's like saying, wow, this guy's tough that I'm going to have to get in the ring with.
Right, it's
like,
appreciation.
This chick is sexy.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to put my sex appeal against hers.
Yeah.
Whereas guys have no interest in our guys. It's like, we're watching it, but we're not going to get in the ring with this guy. We got our own stuff to do. And I've never really thought about the fact that, well, we always knew women checked out other women, and we always knew women looked at other women, especially at certain ages, you know, like 2 through 70, as a competition. But maybe part of the attraction is part of that competition, or maybe one feeds the other, or that's the origin.
You know,
of
again,
one.
Because our brains work so differently than a woman's, they'd have to really kind of tell us.
Well, ours work. That's
where ours work differently. Again, as we've said earlier tonight,
by working,
there's a broad spectrum because women, some are under more of an influence of estrogen, some have higher testosterone levels, some progesterone, and then influenced by each differently,
right,
in a different system. So it's
got to be nice, though, for a chick. If you think about it, you don't have to be lesbian. You don't have to be bisexual. You can just be a sort of youngish chick or not who's sort of into her her sexuality a little bit. You go to the locker room at a gym and walk around, it's not, you know, you could do worse.
It's not bad times.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to.
They don't have to see the old guy with the scrotum hanging down.
Oh, we got to go to the Y in Burbank and see old man scrotum shooting pool, getting the bridge out.
Yeah.
Gotta get the bridge. I swear to Christ, there's a certain thing that happens. The first thing is once you pass 65 and you're in a gym, you think that it essentially is a nudist camp for you.
Or it's your personal
space, shower that other people may be working out in or going through. But it really, essentially, it's a nudist colony for everyone over 65. And you got no job. So here's the deal. You get done working out. You're flying, you're showering, you step out of the shower, I'm still sweating because the shower was so fast. You hurry, you're getting dressed, you got to get out. It's always somewhere you got to go. These guys, they're parked out there.
They're hanging out.
Nude, they're shooting pool, they're hanging out, they're talking at the 1 foot up on the bench, the other down on the terra firma there.
On the scrotum.
Yeah, the scrotum keeps growing and growing. I hear the scrotum continues growing after death.
No, because then the gravity is, if you stand the guy up, sure.
I see.
But the guy's lying down. So.
I see. All right. I'm just saying, listen, put a towel on, fellas. You know what I mean? Melissa?
Hello?
You're 15?
Still awake.
Yeah.
2 hours.
Wow. What's happening, baby doll?
Well, I've just been waiting to get on. It's been,
I know.
Like, me and my friend have been trying to get on for, like, ever since eighth grade. It's been,
yeah,
like,
you've been on hold
3 years.
For 2 hours and 5 minutes.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah. Sorry. We got about 45 seconds. What's up?
Well, basically, I like my friend's brother, and he's just a little bit younger than me. Basically, mm-hmm. I'm in 10th grade, and he's in 7th.
Ooh, that's mm-hmm. a little bit of a
yeah.
stretch.
Yeah.
We're
I'd let it be.
2 years apart.
Let it be to your senior. And
well,
he'll be in 9th, and you'll be in senior. That'll be good.
They're 2 years apart, which ain't a ton.
But it's 3 grades.
Well, okay, yeah. But do you have sexual experience or experience with boys?
Not really.
Not really. Okay.
She's just interested in hanging out.
And
with
what, what's up with you? Is you doing okay? You feel good about yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. And you just think this guy's a why do you like him?
Well, he's really nice, and he's actually really mature for his age.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we get along really well.
Okay.
Well, sort of no harm in hanging out with him.
Yeah.
But
right.
I think the boyfriend girlfriend's coming when you're baby senior.
You think he likes you?
Well, I know actually for a fact that he likes me.
No. I don't see anything wrong with it.
But
really,
hanging out a little bit.
I give it my blessing.
Hanging out.
You could be a little. You could date him a little bit.
A little bit.
Seventh grade. A
little bit.
Okay. A little bit. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, everybody.
There we go.
The show. We're going to take a quick 22-hour break and be back with more of the program tomorrow night. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I'm going to love you all night, baby. I'm going to give it to you to the cows.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.